God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text will be coming from our Gospel reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. But before we get into that, the title of this message depicts, the fat-free diet, I don't know how many of you are on any type of restricted diet, whether it be fat-free, or the only thing that could possibly even be worse would be those sodium-free diets, where nothing tastes good. I will admit, as I'm getting a little bit older, I now have to start paying a little bit more attention to what's on the cereal box. You know, when I was a little boy, it was very easy to pick out what type of cereal I was going to have. You know, as you were in the store, you would look at all the different types of cereal, and my mom would ask me, "Well, David, what type of cereal would you want?" The selection was always very easy. Which box had the best toy? Now, however, looking at those cereal boxes, especially with my girls looking at the cereal boxes, I've noticed that the toys aren't as good as they once were. Which actually fits, because now I don't necessarily look and see what's inside or what special offer they're offering. I look to the side of the box, you know, where that food pyramid is. Tells me how many grams of fat are in there, sugars, and the most important thing, at least for my diet, how much fiber. Yes, I'm at that age. Fiber makes a difference. Well, let's get to that food pyramid for a moment. I will admit, one of my little ones said, as they're learning about the food pyramid in school, you know, the fats are at the top in the smallest category, which means you can only have like one or two a day, and then you have fruits and vegetables more toward the bottom. You can have all those you want. And she keeps saying, "Why can't it be reversed? Why can't we have all the junk food there at the bottom where we can have as much as we want?" And that's just not the way it is. I guess the cliche that we need to remember is, and like me also, I not only do I want to have my cake, I want to be able to eat it too and enjoy it. But I have to realize that, yes, the doctor sits there and says, "You can't be doing this. There are some side effects." Well, that's a no-brainer. What happens if I had cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then I had chocolate sundaes the next day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? You better believe there'd be side effects. Not only side effects, there'd be front effects and tummy effects. I'd be getting a lot heavier, which isn't necessarily good. Well, I want to use this as an illustration to kind of get into what Jesus here is speaking. In verse 51, he says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Now, before my thoughts start chopping to the food pyramid and going, where would Jesus show up on the food pyramid? We have to realize Jesus is not necessarily talking about where he shows up on the food pyramid. He's talking about this relationship that as Christians, if we truly understand who he is, that he is God who took on flesh and blood. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, rose the third day to show his triumphal victory over sin, death, and the devil, that if we believe and trust in him, we have eternal life. This is what Jesus is talking about, not some food pyramid. However, for the purpose of my illustration, especially with food and its side effects, there are some side effects to this living bread that Jesus is asking us to eat. There are some wonderful side effects, because for those who have faith and trust in Jesus Christ and experience the forgiveness of sins the way that Jesus gives it to us through his death and resurrection, there are side effects through the Holy Spirit. Those side effects are commonly called in the Bible the fruit of the Spirit. The joy, the peace, the love, the patience, the self-control, the loving one's neighbor as oneself concept. That is a byproduct, sort of the side effect of eating and abiding in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful side effect. Whereas very often when we start thinking about what type of food and the side effects of too much fat, too much sugar, and not enough fiber in the diet, those are negative side effects. But what Christ gives has pleasant, wonderful side effects. It's almost like similar to medication. We take medication for the cure-all, so to speak, to alleviate the problem we have. And then like most medications, there are also some side effects. The cure-all that we need here in relation to our text is the cure for the forgiveness of sin, the cure for eternal life, the cure because of the ache that we have within ourselves because of our sinful nature and the sins we commit. Christ Himself is that living bread. We eat of this living bread and we will live forever. That's the cure. But yes, there are side effects. Getting to our text, Jesus very clearly wants to set the stage that we don't mix up the purpose and intention of abiding in Him with the side effects. Yes, they are connected, but in the right order. Let me put it this way. Christ begins with focusing our attention upon the chief doctrine of Holy Scripture, what the Bible really wants to teach, that we are justified, we are made Christians by His death, His resurrection. He is the bread of life. He is the one that came down from heaven. If we eat in Him because of what He has done, we will live forever. Notice who's always the subject here. It is He. It is Christ Jesus. Christ begins this section of Scripture with setting that as a stage. However, because there are side effects in our medication and in our food, so to speak, there are also side effects, as I was alluding to before. Good works. And Scripture does note that we must perform good works and do good works to our neighbors at all times. Why? So that that inner faith within us may continue to glow outwardly to those around us, that they may be reflected in our lives, so that the love of Christ, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that love, that forgiveness, will go out to the whole world, because that's what Christ wants. Notice He says, after those that in that opening paragraph, "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Not just a select group of people, but Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of everybody's sins. And Christ wants to use you with all your side effects of His love and forgiveness to share that to a world around us who is still suffering the aches and pains of sin. It sounds real easy, but our human sinful nature gets the best of us. And we may ask, well, what happens if I don't have these side effects? Well, maybe we're not eating the right food. What happens if we don't have that joy, that peace? Can we eat the food and not have the side effects? Well, in today's medical world, that would be ideal. They're trying to make medicine so that it would have the cure-all without the side effects. But for the purpose of this message and connection with our text, that analogy breaks down completely. Let me explain it this way. The last line of our text, or a couple lines, "Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Now, please note that the manna is referring to the food, the bread that God gave the people of Israel as they were leaving Egypt to go to the promised land. Truly, it was a miracle. God, they were being fed His bread, so to speak. He provided the bread. And it was a heavenly bread. But like any other type of bread or any other type of food, it would spoil. It would get moldy. It would rot. The Israelites were told, only pick it enough for one day, except for the day before the Sabbath, to pick 2 days, and then God would provide that it wouldn't perish and spoil. Wonderful. But it was still regular bread. And thinking about that bread, God said He would even be willing to convert stones into bread. And if it wasn't bread, it was getting water from the rock. Or maybe we may remember Jesus' first miracle, where He took water and changed it into wine. I'm using these as an illustration to show that all these events, God is providing something special, but in the means of ordinary bread, ordinary water, ordinary wine. However, what's the difference between that last verse and the first verse? Why would the forefathers eat manna and die? There's the difference. The difference is, did they put their faith and trust in Jesus the Christ? Did they trust God with all their heart, soul, and strength. That they provide, that they ask God to help lead them. And the answer was, no, they didn't. They were not trusting in God above all things. What Jesus is trying to convey to us in John chapter 6 in this section here is that we need to put our faith and trust in the one who provides that living bread, who provides that forgiveness of sins. We even have a similar policy when it comes to our communion. When at the later part of our service, we come up to kneel to receive that bread and wine, which we say, because of God's word, is also the body and blood of Christ. That we don't want just anyone coming up, because as Scripture clearly says, that those who don't believe that it is the body and blood of Christ, they're taking it to their damnation. Luther explains it this way. How does one receive the sacrament worthily? It's not by anything you have done. It's by what you believe in. Do you believe that bread and wine is actually the body and blood of Christ? Do you believe that partaking of that bread and wine, that it brings about forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it strengthens your faith? Then yes, come and receive what Christ himself offers. He offers of himself for the life of the world, as the early part of John, as this early part of our text notes. So where does this leave us? We now clearly know that, yes, Jesus is the number one central doctrine of the Bible. Through his death and resurrection, we have forgiveness of sins. We have life. And now that we have that life, yes, there are certain side effects. But they are to his glory, so that the word of God may continue to grow. And God doesn't leave us alone or abandoned, but he continues to strengthen us and to nourish us in that faith, because we need that nourishment. As the last verse of our text reminds us, not everyone who partakes of what God provides believes and trusts in him. The people of Israel ate the manna, but not every one of them believed and trust that God was going to provide for them. So this day we ask the Holy Spirit to continue to guide our hearts, to soak in that living word, to receive what God so clearly provides himself for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. And yes, we may wonder about those diets, but we have to remember, I've been wanting to practice these words because of my annual physical will be coming up soon, and the doctor will be reminding me on how I should follow that food pyramid. I need to remind him, that's true for the healthy physical body, but what about the spiritual body? There I only need one food, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we thank the Lord through that he has given us this food to quench that thirst within us that no cereal box can ever fulfill. That no diet, no whether it be fat-free or sodium-free, will be able to fulfill. That only the living bread who came down from heaven will be able to accomplish the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.